Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin at Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah, Neitel Adam Kornis, a person could take a hammer to use to crack nuts. Amar Yehuda, comments of Yehuda, Kornis Shalagoyzim. What our Mishnah says, you could take a hammer to crack nuts, it's talking about a hammer which is used to crack nuts. If you want to use a blacksmith's hammer to crack nuts, that may not be done. Because Kesavar, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Davish Amlach Delisser, anything that's, any keli that's Amlach Delisser, any keli that's designated to be used for a non-permitted use on Shabbos, Afilo Tzarech Gufoy, even when you want to use it for permissible use, usher. As all the Rishonim point out, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that a keli shemalach delisser may not be moved l'tzayrich gufoy, he certainly holds that it may not be moved l'tzayrich mekoymoy. Amalei Rabba asks Rabba, El Ma'ata, how could you suggest such a pshat? El Ma'ata, according to you, Sefer Diktani, we learned in our Mishnah, Vesareches, Vesamagus, we could take a pitchfork, a shovel, losses of cotton to put food to feed a child. Reches, a shovel, or malgus, miyachted le cotton, these aren't kalim that are designated for permissible use. And according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not designated for that use, it can't be used. So, of course, Tosfos, the very Maskil Reches, asks, this question is so obvious, what Rabbi Yehuda is going to say regarding what our Mishnah teaches us, what was Rabbi Yehuda's Havamina? So, Tosfos suggests that the way Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain our Mishnah, is talking about a Reches and a Malgus that were designated specifically to be used to feed children. That's when it's mutter. But otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that it's not mutter. Ask the Gemara, El Amar Rabba, says Rabba, because of this question, Kornish on the Fochim, you a Kheli Shemlach the Isser, the Fatzeach as a Goizim, may be used to crack nuts, because Kosover, Rabba's opinion obviously is, Dovah Shemlach Delisser, if something which is a Keli Shemlach Delisser, the Tzarech Gufay, but you're using it for a permissible use on Shabbos, the halacha is that mutter, it may be moved. Eisvei Abaye L'Rabba asks Abaye to Rabba, how could you indeed hold that way? It says in a Braisa Meducha, which is a mortar which garlic is usually crushed. Im yesh b'shum, if there's garlic in it, it may be moved on Shabbos. Vimba elav, but if it doesn't have any garlic, ematatnoi say. So the way the Rishonim explain, this is used for grinding. But you can't do grinding on Shabbos, obviously. So this person wanted to use it to sit on it. It's a fairly large vessel. And the halacha is that even though you want to use it for permissible use, the halacha is that you can't use it for that use unless it had garlic in it from before Shabbos. So Rishonim ask a question. We learned the Gemara earlier in our Masechta, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Meis Hamutl B'chama, if Rachman Tzlan, there's a mace out in the sun, there's a concern what's going to be with this mace. The halacha is Menechel or Kikar Tinnik. We should put a kikar, a loaf of bread or a child on that mace in Matatloi. And the Gemara explained there that heter is only by a mace that has Chazal gave that heter because of Kavod Abrius, not by any other muksa. He was saying that even by a meducha, by this mortar, you could use the heter that there's garlic in it. So the Rosh explains that there we were talking about a mace. A mace is muksa machmas gufay, which is a higher level of muksa. And therefore, the only time we're going to allow a mace to be moved, if you have a davar heter on it, is when it's l'kavod ha-mace. Here, we're talking about a keli shemlach delisser. as is going to be apparent in our shiurim, a kli shemalach de lisser is a lower level muksa. And since it's a lower level muksa, there you could always rely, if you have something mutter on top of it, that you can move it. That's the Rosh's approach. Another approach is that here we're talking about that the meducha had the shum, had the garlic in it from before Shabbos. And since it had the garlic in it from before Shabbos, so then already before Shabbos it had this heter. There we want to put the kikar atinuk on the mace on Shabbos. That's much more difficult. But the Rashba gives a different heter. The Rashba says the way to look at a meducha is the way the halacha would look at a pot. A pot is typically a kli shemalach de lisser. It's used to cook. But a pot is also used to hold food. And when the pot is used to hold food, then it becomes a keli shemalach de laheter. So that's what our Gemara is suggesting. That if the meducha has in it garlic, once it has in it garlic, it obtains the status of a pot. And if it has the status of a pot, you're allowed to use, you're allowed to move on Shabbos. But what do we see from here? That a keli, which is used a kli shemalach de iser, can't be moved. The only reason we were allowing the movement of the meducha is because it had an itshum. Amalei, so responds Rava Tabaya, Hamani, whose opinion does that brice reflect? That brice reflects a different opinion from Nechemyahi. Dama en keli nitel elach tzarech tashmishay. You could only move a keli for its primary use. And otherwise you can't move it. And of course, says Tosfos, that if it's, Rabbi Chemyu will agree that if something has a permissible use and a non-permissible use, you can move it. But a meducha is primarily designated for grinding, and therefore, even though now I want to use it for permissible use, I may not move it. Esvei asked the Gemara a different question. There's machloikis, beishamay, beishil, about different kalim, if they're muksa or not. The kshavin, but they both agree, shim kotzav labasar, that if you have a board that you cut meat on it, shosla tatloi, you can't move it for another purpose, because it becomes a keli shemalach de lisser. So we see that you can't move a keli shemalach de lisser under any circumstance, says the Gemara, sovel shnui leikam nechemya. He wanted to answer that braisa also is following the opinion of Nechemya that we just stated. However, kiven the shom lahad amar of chinen b'shalmi mishmei the rav hakob moedim b'siki zairi mizori. Everybody agrees with different types of vessels that are very expensive that they're muksa. The kiven the kapper alayu, since a person is careful about them and he doesn't want to move them around miyach lemokim, so he designates a place for them for Shabbos and become muksa machim chasaron kis. So when we spoke about these different kalim in our shir today, meduchi, the keli that they chop the meat on, they are expensive kalim, miyach lemokim, and therefore they become muksa machim chasaron kis. A muksa machim chasaron kis is a very serious type of muksa, and therefore you can't move it even with tzarech gufay umekaymai. There's a machloikis achroinim. When we speak about muksa machmas chasaron kis, do you have to have yichud mokum? The Beis Meir says for something to be considered muksa machmas chasaron kis, you have to be miyachad lemokum. You have to designate a specifically place where it's going to be. And therefore, according to Beis Meir, for example, a wallet, even though it has money on it, in it, is not necessarily going to be muksa machmas chasaron kis, because people are not specifically particular where they're going to put their wallet. And if you're not particular where you're going to put your wallet, so that doesn't have yichud mokum, and it wouldn't be muksa machmas chasaron kis. However, and the raya of the Beis Meir is our Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah, however, in Simon Shin Yud, in Sharet Tzion, Ois Yotes, seems to say that most achroinim don't require yichud mokum. I asks Rav Moshe in the Shalos Tshuva Sigris Moshe, Oyre Chaim Chelik Hei Simon Chapez, that our Gemara clearly indicated that Yichud Mokum is part of the way something is considered Muksum Achmasar and Kis. So Rav Moshe says that when the Gemara uses the words Yichud Mokum, it's just another way of saying that you're makbar on it, that something that you're careful about. Then there's another very, very important machloikis when we speak about muksum machsar and kis. There are achroinim who are of the opinion that say that muksum machsar and kis is only passable by something which is a keli shemalach del iser. But if it's a kli shemalach del heter, since you're allowed to move it for its permissible use, even though it's expensive, and even let's say you miyachid mokum, it can't be considered muksa machm schar and kis. However, the Tehillah of David, and there are others that say no, as long as it's something that's important to you, it gets considered like a muksa machm schar and kis. This question is very relevant to, let's say, somebody has food in a store or merchandise in a store, which is not a keli shemalach del iser. But obviously, somebody who has a business is concerned about what's in his business. So the question is that going to be considered muksumach chsar and kis? The Satmar Rebbe has a tshuva about this, and the Satmar Rebbe seems to take a more lenient approach and says that food in a store, it comes up, let's say somebody needs food and something comes up on Shabbos and you need to get food and there is no food available unless you could open up the store. Of course, there can't be any other shilas. So the Satmar Rebbe in a tshuva, the Reyoil Oyer Chaim Simon Yotes, seems to take the opinion of the Pnei Yeshua, that the Pnei Yeshua holds that Muksum Machsar and Kis is only by Kli Shemalach Del Iser. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it seems, disagrees. And as I said, the Tehillah of David seems to take a compromise approach. His approach is, it depends how makbid you are on it. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Rachia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kornish al Zahavim Shaninu, when we speak about the hammer in our Mishnah, that's a Kli Shemalach Del Iser, we're speaking about a goldsmith's hammer. And Rav Shemin Bar Abba Amar, Kornish al Zahavim Shaninu, we're talking about the hammer that's used by the spice maker. Explains the Gemara. Mandam of the Psovim, if you hold, we're speaking about the hammer of the spice maker. So Koshkein the Zahavim. Certainly the blacksmith's hammer will be considered Klisha Malach del Isser that can be moved with Tzarek Gufa Mekoymai. Because as the Mefarshim explained, the goldsmith's hammer is much easier to repair. We discussed it earlier in our Masechta, how they would make sure that the hammer always remained smooth. The Besamim hammer is much more difficult to repair, and therefore it's not likely that people are going to use that hammer for other uses. So says the Gemara, if you hold that the Besamim hammer is considered a Kli Shemalach Del Iser with the Haterim that a Kli Shemalach Del Iser come with, Koshkein the Zahavim, certainly you'll hold that way by the goldsmith's hammer. The Mandamish al Zahavim, if the Mandamu says that our Mishnah is talking about a goldsmith's hammer, will hold only a goldsmith's hammer is in the category of a Kli Shemalach Del Iser. Aval the Besamim, a Besamim maker's hammer, Kapar Alayu, people are careful about and will not be in that category, but rather will be considered Muksa Machem Sechsar and Kis that can't be moved under any circumstances. We learned further in the Mishnah, as a kush v'sakarka, different kalim, which you could use to pick up fruit with, that even though that's not what those kalim are made for, but as we learned in the Mishnah, the halacha is that it's still considered, it could be moved, it's klish v'ach delisser, that could be moved, l'tzarek gufa l'mekoyman. Tanar abonim. So says the Gemara, paga shetamna b'tembin. You took an unripe fig, and you buried it in straw before Shabbos, because that's the way it's going to ripen. Or charora, shetamna b'gachalim, a cake that you put into coals before Shabbos. Of course, the Rishonim point out that we're referring to a situation where if I'm going to move the coal, they're not going to get ignited. because if they're going to get ignited or extinguished, we're going to have the problem of mechaver and mavir, all the different situations. The Miri says, as long as it's not a psik reisha, as long as it's not for certain that that's going to happen, then that isn't the consideration of this brisa. In Megulah Mektasa, if the fig or cake are exposed, mutl tatla, you can move it out on Shabbos. Vimlav osl tatla, but otherwise it may not be moved. We could put into the fruit the kush or karka that were mentioned in our Mishnah, and you'll get out the fruit. And even though you'll get out the fruit, it doesn't bother me because I didn't directly move the fruit. And what we're learning in our Gemara is a new concept, and that's the concept of tiltum and atzad. And the question is that even though we're not allowed to move muks on Shabbos, the discussion of our Gemara is, if you do it not tiltum and atzad, is that mutter also? There are two explanations that the Achroinim give and how to look at Tiltum and Atzad. Some explain, the Baal Amor says this, and other Achroinim explained it, that Tiltum and Atzad is Klach Yad. You moved it, not in the normal fashion, how this Muksu would normally be moved. The Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to be say that Tiltum and Atzad means that you don't touch the Muksu itself. You move it by pushing something else, and that causes the muksa to be moved. Now, there's a very important question that needs to be discussed when we speak about tiltum and atzad. Sometimes you're moving the muksa directly, but you're moving it not with your hand. You're moving it with something else, and that is the way the muksa's moved. Is that considered tiltum and atzad? The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that that's included in the category of tiltum and atzad. So in other words, if you have something on your table which is muksa, and you want to get it off your table, and again, you won't have the situation that's a graf shalrei, so you'll take something else to push it off the table, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that would be considered tiltum and atzad. However, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that if that would not be considered tiltum and atzad, because the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that that's considered yoda arichta, an extension of your hand. You just don't want to touch it yourself, so you have something else push it. That, he says, would not be considered tiltum and atzad. And says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, halach Rav Elazar ben Tadoi, that the halach is indeed like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi, that tiltum and atzad is not a problem. Even though we're learning that tiltum and atzad is not a problem, there is a very big machloikis hapoiskim. When we say tiltum and atzad, muksa may be moved with tiltum and atzad, is that only when you're moving, even if you're moving it letzoruch davar muksa? Or is tiltum and atzad only mutter when it's not letzoruch davar muksa? You have your own need, but you have a muksa preventing you. So if you're doing it for that reason, you're allowed to move it. But if you're doing it with soyuch dover hamukso, there are paiskim that say that tiltum and atzad is not a heter. Ask the Gemara, lememra, so are you suggesting the sovra of Nachman, the tiltum and atzad lo ishme tiltul? The Rav Nachman's opinion is that tiltum and atzad is not considered tiltul. Vom Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman teach us, hi pugla, you have a radish that was buried in the ground to ripen, but it's partially exposed, otherwise you wouldn't be able to get to the radish. Mamatla mamata, if you move the radish, and if the radish is put in a way that the wider part of the radish is on top and the narrower part of the radish is on bottom, so when you pull out the radish, it won't cause any of the earth to move, then you could pull it out. However, if the radish is put in the ground, mimata mamala, that the narrower part is on top, and the wider part is on bottom. So when you're going to pull that radish out of the ground, the earth is going to come moving down. The earth is muksa, and you're causing it to move with tiltum and atzad. But if you hold tiltum and atzad is not a problem, why shouldn't you be allowed to do it? Says the Gemara. So it must be that Rav Nachman is of the opinion that tiltum and atzad is asur. Says the Gemara. Hadabai Rav Nachman Mahi. Rav Nachman moved away from that opinion. He holds like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi that tiltum and atzad is mutter. But we gave various qualifications for that halacha. Machashiyad litl ba, we learned that you're allowed to move a needle to take out a splinter. Says the Gemara, Sholach le Rova Bereid the Rabbi le Rabbi Yosef. Lemdeinu Rabbeinu, Machat Shenitl Charora or Uksa, a needle, the eye or the point was removed, Mahu. What is its status going to be? Will it become Muksa? Amalei Tenesua. We learned in our Mishnah, Machat Shiyad Lita Bayas Akaitz. Why is a needle not Muksa? Because the needle could be used to remove a splinter. And Vichim Achmas Be'lel Kites. And if therefore that's the purpose of that you're allowed to move the needle, so to remove a splinter, it makes no difference, Bein the Kuva, Le'bein Shein in the Kuva, whether it has an eye or it doesn't have an eye. And certainly it should not be considered Muksa just because it doesn't have an eye. Eisvei asked the Gemara, as we've discussed numerous times in our Shiurim, that a keli, when it's broken, loses the status of a keli. So the Mishnah says, in Masech de Kelim, Machat Shenitl Charora Uksa, a needle whose point or eye was removed, is Tahor. So we see it's not considered a keli anymore. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, Tuma Shabbos Karamis, you're trying to compare Hilchas Tuma to Tkuchas Shabbos? Tuma Kli Maisa Be'inan. When we speak about Hilchas Tuma, it's totally in a Kli Maisa. And if it's lost the eye or the knee or the point, it's not considered anymore Kli Maisa. However, when we speak regarding Hilchas Shabbos, Linyan Shabbos, Midi the Chazer Binan, what we need to see is that is it usable? V'honami Chazer L'mishka B'Koitz. If it, even though, it, as long as it has that, as long as it's usable to take out the splinter, it should not be, it should still be considered a Keli. Amar Rava, says Rava, Manda Kamaisev, I hold that the one that asked the question, Shapa Kamaisa, was asking a good question. Why? Because middle inyan tumma lab manahu, if regarding Hilchas Tumma we're not considered a keli, linyan Shabbos nami lab manahu, it's not considered a keli. For one it's not, for other one it's not. Ask the Gemara on Rava's opinion, Meisvei, the Braisa says, Machad bein nekuva bein shein nekuva, a needle, whether it has an eye or not, mutal lebetab lebeshabbos, it could be moved on Shabbos because it's usable to remove the sprinkler, the splinter. V'la'am in the kuva, and the difference is en l'inyan tumma bavad. So why are you telling me that tumma and Shabbos travel together? Says the Gemara, Tirgum Abaye leave the Rava. So Abaye explains how Rava will explain, will understand this braisa. Our braisa is begalmi askinen. When you have needles that weren't finished being processed. So even though they're not considered kalim as far as Hilchas Tumah, because they're not finished being made, however, zimnan demem l'chalayu, sometimes you're going to have such a needle, it doesn't have the eye, but it's still usable to remove splinters, and therefore majvalei mana, it's considered a keli. Aval hecha, but when you have a good needle, and then the needle broke, the nitl charora uksa, its point broke off, its eye broke off. Adam Zark LeBank, because such a person, such a keli, is thrown into the garbage. And since it's thrown into the garbage, therefore, it's not considered a keli anymore, even for Hilchas Shabbos at all. And even though somebody, says Duran, even though somebody still may say, so even if the eye broke off, it's still usable for a removing splinter. However, since it was originally meant to be used for as a real needle, and if it breaks, people are going to discard it and not consider it a keli at all. Says the Gemara, Suve Yanuka, straightening out the limbs of an infant on Shabbos. That was what they used to do when babies were born, to make sure that all the limbs were straight. Rav Nachman Osir, Rav Nachman says it may not be done on Shabbos. It's considered like a ma'isa tikkun. Rav Sheshe Shari, Rav Sheshe says it may be done. Amar Rav Nachman, Mana Aminullah, from where do I get my psak? The Tanan. The Mishnah is going to teach us, Ein oisin abiktuzim b'Shabbos. Somebody can't take some sort of a medicine that will cause him to vomit. So just because that's usur, because it's repairing the body, that it should be able to eat. The person overate and is not feeling well. Rashashis, Hasam, Lav Orche. People don't normally eat and need to vomit. And therefore, it's included in the Isra of Refuah and Shabbos. However, Hoch Orche, every child that's born, that's what they used to do. They used to straighten out the limbs, and therefore there's no Isra. Omer Rav Sheshi, Smanani Ma'ilah. And Rav Sheshi says, from where do I know that that's the halacha? The Tanah, Machl Shiyad, Lita Ba'is HaKoitz. Somebody could take a needle to remove a splinter. So we see that repairing the person, taking out his splinter, is not usur. Rav Nachman says the comparison to the removal of a splinter is not a valid comparison. Hosom pocket. When we speak about the splinter, it's something that's just in the body. It's not the body itself. So therefore, removing it is not considered that you actually repair the body. However, hocholoi pocket, you're fixing the body itself. And since you're fixing the body, that's considered a maisa tikkun. So the question that the Paiskim discuss, is somebody allowed to put a retainer into their mouth on Shabbos to straighten their teeth? Is that included in what our Gemara discusses? So the Shalza Tshuvas, V'yan David, Chelik Gimel, Simchav Hei, and he says that the Isser of straightening something out is only when it's broken, when it's not in perfect shape. The teeth that are not straight, that you need to wear braces, that's not considered something which is really broken, and therefore he says somebody could put the retainer into the mouth on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, a konash al zaysim, they used to have a stick that they used to turn over the olives. If it has a knot on the top of it, it's mekabel tuma. But if it doesn't, it's not mekabel tuma. But teaches us the Mishnah, benkach, whether it does or doesn't have the knot on its top, nitl b'Shabbos, it's a keli shemachkel heter. It can be moved on Shabbos. But ask the Gemara, why is it mekabel tuma? The halach is the pshuta kliyets. When we speak about wood kalim, if they're just plain wood kalim, the halacha is that they're not mekabel tuma. This is just a plain stick. And ask the Gemara, pshuta kliyets, ain't mekabel tuma. Why is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, my tam, why is that indeed the halacha? Kodumi the sak binan. The Torah, when it speaks about kalim that are mekabel tuma, the pasuk teaches us the kol ashiyip ala mehem b'moysam yitma mikol kli eitz oy beged oy or oy sak. So the Gemara teaches us in a number of places in Shas that the Torah is comparing kli eitz, kalim made out of wood, to the kli sak. A kli sak has a base kibble; it has a receptacle. So too, the only time a kli eitz is mekabel tuma, if it has a clear kibble, base kibble, if it has a receptacle. So this stick doesn't have a base kibble. Why is it mekabel tuma? Answers the Gemara, Tana, Mishpeder Mnechemya, B'shosh Mishapach B'zaysim, it had like a little opening on the top. And what was the purpose of that? That the oil would gather in that opening, and you could see that the oil, and see if the oil is ready, if the grape, if the olives are ready, are ripe, and therefore it does have a kli kibble, and therefore that's why it's mekabel tuma. So many Rishonim ask that our Mishnah differentiated between Shabbos and tuma, and we just learned the Gemara in Amud Aleph that Rava taught us the midlinyan tuma lab manu l'shin Shabbos nami lab manu, that Shabbos and tuma we learned according to Rava travel together. So the Ran answers that only regarding a broken keli is where Rava says Shabbos and Tumah travel together. And therefore, if it's not considered a keli for Hilchos Tumah, it's not a keli for Hilchos Shabbos as well. Here we're talking not about a broken keli. There even Rava agrees that Hilchos Tumah and Hilchos Shabbos do not necessarily travel together. The Sfas Emes gives a different answer. The fact that a kon is not mekabel Tumah is nothing to do whether it's a keli or not. There's a special halacha, which we just cited, that Xeris Akosif, that a kli eitz is only mekabel tuma if it has a kli kibble, a base kibble. That is a unique halacha in Hilchas Tumah. For that unique halacha, certainly Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Tumah, even according to Rava, will not travel together. Teaches us the Mishnah. Rav Yosi Omer kol kelim lekelim. All kelim may be moved on Shabbos. Chutz min ha-maser ha-gadol, a large saw, the yesod shemachrisha, and something that's used for plowing. Because these are muksa machmas schar and kis. And as we discussed in Amar Aleph, anything which is muksa machmas and kis is obviously muksa. Says the Gemara, Amar Nachman, hay uchle de katsri. They used to have a stick that was used by people who did laundry. Machlokes rishonim, exactly. Rashi gives two pshatim here, exactly what that means, Rashi, the remaskal uchle de katsri. One pshat Rashi suggests that they used to have this stick that had holes in it, and they used to fill it up with water, and then the clothing that they had to clean, they would move the stick, and the water would spritz on the clothing that they needed to clean. A different pshat Rashi says is that they had this plate with holes in it, and under it they put incense, and that because the clothing that they would clean in those times, they would afterwards have them get incense on them to get a nice smell, a nice aroma. And that's this keli had these holes that the smell of the incense traveled up those holes to give the clothing that nice smell. So says the Gemara, Hai uchud de katsri, this keli that was used by the people in the cleaning, kiyaska machritza dami, is treated like a yeska machritza. And just like we learned a yeska machritza is muksa, so too are there. Says the Gemara further, Amar Abaya, charba de ushkafi, a knife that the people in the leather business use, v'skina de shafta, a butcher knife, v'katsina de gnagri, a saw that's used by a carpenter, kiyasha machrisha dami. All of them are considered muksa machnus sankis. Because again, people are very particular not to use them. People are very, very particular not to use them for any other purpose. And if they're particular not to use them for any other purpose, they become muksa machmas chsaron kis. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. B'rishayna hayo'aymrim shloshi kelim nitalim b'Shabbos. Three types of vessels could be moved on Shabbos. So, of course, all the Rishonim make the point that what the Gemara doesn't mean to say that besides these three kelim, nothing can be moved on Shabbos. Never was there a havamina that food cannot be moved on Shabbos. Never was there a havamina that kisvei kodesh, chumashim, sedarim, sfarim cannot be moved on Shabbos. And regarding silverware, there's a machlokes. Some rishonim say similarly, there was never a havamina that silverware should be muksa. How could silverware be muksa? You have to move it. You have to eat on Shabbos. Some say that silverware is in the category of a keli shemach b'leheter, which will have very significant ramifications, halach l'maisa, as we get deeper into the shir. But what the Rishonim is saying is that these three kelim that the Gemara is about to identify, which are kelim that one would consider perhaps, should be maybe considered muksa, they weren't considered muksa. Mektsoyish on vela, the knife that was used for cutting a cake of pressed figs, so that was typically not used as a keli shemlach d'leheter, or zuma lister and shokteira. They had a ladle that has foam on the top of the pot that they used to skim off that foam, or sakin ketanish al gav shalchan, a small knife that's on the table. Those were only things that they allowed to move on Shabbos. Everything else was considered muksa. And as the Rishonim explained, because they lived in a world, and we'll see this more in the Gemara, where Shabbos was not being kept the way Shabbos was supposed to be kept. And as we discussed in our previous year, the whole reason for Muksa, particularly according to the Rambam, was to preserve the spirit of Shabbos. So they limited what could be moved. Hetiru, v'chazver hetiru, v'chazver hetiru. They kept on being more lenient until they ultimately said, "Call it in the kelim the tone of Shabbos. Anything can be moved in Shabbos." Chutz min amasa agod of yosa shemachrisha, which were mentioned in our Mishnah as muksa machmas chsaron kis. So Rishonim ask, that one of the first fundamental rules throughout Shas is Ein Bezdin Yochel Vatal Divrei Bezdin Chaveroi Elm Ken Golem Mena B'Chokma Minyan. A later Bezdin cannot reverse an earlier Bezdin's Gzeira. So if there was a Gzeira put in place that should be, that the all items, all vessels, utensils should be muksa, how could later Batei Dinim reverse that Gzeira? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. The Ritva suggests that this was a Gzeira, that when they instituted the Gzeira, they said up front that this Gzeira could be reversed by later Batei Dinim. Which Gzeira cannot be reversed by later Batei Dinim? A Gzeira that is a regular Gzeira, typical Gzeira. But when the Gzeira was instituted, it was said that later Bezdin has the right to reverse it, there's no problem. Toysus Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, Divrei Maskil B'Mei, has a different approach. He says when this Gzeira was made, as we're going to see in the time of Nehemiah, it was made originally only for that generation. It wasn't a Gzeira, it was a Gzeira with an expiration date. The expiration date is it's only for this generation. And the next generation will make its own decisions what is mutter and what is osur. So Gemara analyzes what the Braisa meant. It says the Gemara, Mai tiru, v'chazri tiru, v'chazri tiru. Omra bayu, he tiru davishim lachta lehet l'tzarek gufay. First they said if you have a keli, which is primarily used for something that you're allowed to do in Shabbos, you're allowed to move it if you need it for its use. V'chazri tiru, davishim lachta l'heter. And then they went and they said a davishim lachta l'heter can be moved, even l'tzarek mekayim. You don't need it, but you need the place where it is, it may be moved. V'chazri tiru, and then they said davishim lachta l'iser could be moved. The example we always use is the hammer, which is a keli shemalach delissa. But if you're going to use it, as we started the shiur today, to crack nuts, you're allowed to move it. But if your hammer is on your table and you need the place on the table, loy, you would not be allowed to move the hammer. The dayin, biyodei achasin, what kind of keli can be moved? Only if it's a keli that could be moved with one hand. But if it's such a large keli that you need two hands to move it, loy, it may not be moved. Atcha amru, until they ultimately said, kol ha-kelim nitolim b'Shabbos, all vessels could be moved on Shabbos, afilu b'shtei yadayim, even if you need two hands to move it. Amalei, Rava, asks Rava, what does the Braisa say? Michti, hitiru k'tani. They said that a keli that originally was not allowed to be moved, hitiru may be moved. So asks Rava, Mali Latzarach Gufay, Mali Latzarach Mekaymai. Why should it make a difference if it's Latzarach Gufay, Latzarach Mekaymai? You should be allowed to move it under all circumstances. Elam Rava, therefore Rava has a different version of the history. Hitiru Davish Melach Delheter. First they said a Keli should Melach Delheter could be moved. Bein Latzarach Gufay, Bein Latzarach Mekaymai. Whether you need it permissible use or you need it spot. But at that point, you weren't allowed to move it mechamlet sale. Mechamlet sale means to move something to save it from getting ruined. V'chazvei tiru, not that you can actually use it. V'chazvei tiru, and then they said you can even move it mechamlet sale. V'chazvei tiru, and then the next version, then they went further and they said, that dov shamachtem le'esor, le'tzor gufa le'tzor mekayme in, it may be moved le'tzor gufa le'tzor mekayme, mechamlet sale loy. V'dayin, but it's still, all this was only Badam Echad in, only if it's moved by one, it could be moved with one hand, with one person, but Shnei B'nei Adam, if something takes two people to move it, Loi. Acha Amru, until they ultimately said, Kol HaKelim Natalim B'Shabbos, any Keli that can be moved, Afil B'Shnei B'nei Adam, even if it needs two people to move it. Asks where Gemara, Esvei Abaya, back to a Braisa that we discussed at the beginning of our shir, meducha, this mortar, im yesh beshum, if it has in it garlic, then and only then, metatan loisai. Memlav, ematatan loisai. So we see that you can't move the meducha, even though you want to use it for permissible use. You want to sit on it. You can't move the meducha because you need the place where the meducha is. So why are you telling me you're allowed to move it? You're allowed to move things for that purpose. Says the Gemara, when the Braisa says you can't move the meducha unless it has shum in it, it's talking a situation when you're moving it mechamlet sale. A meducha, as we explained, is a kli shemalach delisser, and a kli shemalach delisser may not be moved mechamlet sale. Eisvei, another question. The Shavin, we quoted this also early in this year, that both Beisham and Beisil agree, Shem Kisav Allah Basar, that if you have something that's used to chop meat, it's a klisha malachta lisser, and you can't move it. And we have the same question. Why? A klisha malachta lisser can be moved. Letzarech gufa mekaymai. Answers the Gemara, here too, hachinami, it's being moved, mecham letzel. Amar Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina says, where did this gzeira come from? Says Rav Chanina, b'nei nechemya ben hachakalya, nishtis mishna zu. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, b'yam mehem, in those days, Risi b'Yehuda, I saw in Yehuda, Dorchim Gitas b'Shabbos, people were using, they were moving on Shabbos, pressing wine on Shabbos, on Vima Remus and bringing bundles, and therefore there was a big laxity in Hilchos Shabbos. And since there was a big laxity in Hilchos Shabbos, they had no choice but to institute these very important gzeiros to keep Shmir Shabbos. So our Gemara has taught us that a kli shemalach de leheter can be moved letzarech gufoy, letzarech lechaymoy, mecham letzel. But it can't just be moved for no reason. And this is a very important halacha. When we speak about kelim on Shabbos, if you have a keli, which is a kli shemalach de leheter, you may not move it if you have no purpose of moving it. You only can move it if you have a purpose, tzar gufay, tzar mekaymay, mecham letzel. Kli shemalach de lisser is even stricter. A kli shemalach de lisser could only be moved letzar gufay lemekaymay, letzarich mecham letzel, and may not be moved. So now we've established that even a kli shemalach de leheter can't be moved unless there's a purpose. So there are people who sit at the table, and sometimes there'll be silverware on the table. Silverware is certainly kli shemalach de leheter. And the question is, could you move the silverware? You want to play with it. Is that considered that you're not moving it for any purpose? There's no constructive purpose of moving it. May it be moved? So actually, it's a very big machloikas hapaiskim. And the basis for the machloikas hapaiskim is actually dependent on something that we discussed a few moments ago in our shir. A few moments ago, we spoke about the original gzeira of muksa did not apply to everything. And we said it certainly didn't apply to food, and it certainly didn't apply to svarim. The question is, did it apply to silverware? The Shulte Gebirim says it never applied to silverware. If it never applied to silverware, it may be moved. The Mishnah Brura, however, says that no, silverware is in the category of a kli shemalach de leheter. And as we just explained, a kli shemalach de leheter could be moved only when there's some level of tzairich. If there's no level of tzairich at all, it can't be moved. And therefore, the Mishnah Brura says, just to move it for no good reason, you may not. The Sal's Tshuvas, Oz Nidbru, in Chelek Aleph, Simen Memtes, Simon Ayin Tess has a very interesting approach. He says, why would somebody move silverware for no purpose? It must be because he's nervous. And this is the way he sort of, so to speak, calms himself down. And therefore, that could maybe be considered a constructive need, and therefore it can be moved for that purpose. We also just learned that a keli shemalach de l'isser could only be moved l'tzarech gufa mekaymai. But as our Mishnah and our Gemara taught us, if it is Letzarech Gufay Mekaymai, it can be moved. Again, our example is the hammer that I want to use to crack nuts. But it's interesting to point out that the Mishnah Berura in Simen Shin Ches Se Katan Yud Beis says that this heter of moving a Kli Shemalach de Lissa Letzarech Gufay is not something that should be done without thinking. What do I mean? He says you could only move the hammer to crack the nuts if you don't have a nutcracker. But if you have a nutcracker, and you're going to say, yeah, I have a nutcracker, but I'm going to use the hammer to crack the nuts, tzarech gufay, that is not something that one should do. B'ra Moshe, and the Shalos Tshuvos, Igros Moshe, Aruchayim, Chilek, Hei, Simen, Chaf, Aleph, Oishyot, Beis, And so too is the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal in Shalz Tshuvah Shmich Shloim Cherik Beis Simla Medal Ois Lamed, say that this Chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah should not be overdone. And he says, for example, somebody needs a nutcracker. He doesn't have a nutcracker available. He has a hammer. So he has an option. He could go to his neighbor and borrow a nutcracker, or he could use the hammer. So even though the halacha is that we should avoid using a kli shemachtel heter, lisser, even a tzarech gufoy, doesn't mean that we can't use the heter at all. And therefore, in such a circumstance where it's a tircha to go get that nutcracker, even the Mishnah Berurah, they say, would agree that that's included in the heter that our Gemara just taught us, that a kli shemachtel iser can be moved with tzarech gufoy.